सुकुमार पाद करोरु बाह्वं सकपोल गात्रम् चार्वायताक्षोन्नसतुल्यकर्ण सुब्राणनं कम्बुसुजातकण्ठम् तं व्यष्टवर्षं सुकुमारपाद करोरु बाह्वं सकपोलगात्रम् चार्वायताक्षोन्नसतुल्यकर्ण सुभ्राणनं कम्बुसुजातकण्ठम् तं व्यष्टवर्षं सुकुमारपाद करोरु बाह्वं सकपोलगात्रम् चार्वायताक्षोन्नसतुल्यकर्ण सुभ्राणनं कम्बुसुजातकण्ठम् त्वं व्यष्टवर्षं सुकुमारपाद करोरु बाह्वं सकपोलगात्रम् चार्वायताक्षोन्नसतुल्यकर्ण सुकुमारपाद सुब्राणनं कम्बुसुजातकण्ठम् त्वं व्यस्तवर्षं सुकुमारपाद करोरु बाह्वं सकपोलगात्रम् चार्वायता नसतुल्यकर्ण सुब्राणनं कम्बुसुजातकण्ठम् माताजी त्वं व्यष्टवर्षं सुकुमारपाद करोरु बाह्वं सकपोलगात्रम् सुब्राणनं कम्बुसुजातकण्ठम् वर्ड् टु वर्ड् ट्रान्स्लेशन् तम् हिम् द्वि अष्ट 16 वर्षम् इयर्स् सुकुमार डेलिकेट् पाद लेग्स् कर हेण्ड्स् ऊरु थैस् बाहु आर्म्स् अंस शोल्डर्स् कपोल फोर्हेड् गात्रम् बाडी चारु ब्यूटिफुल् आयत ब्राड् अक्ष ऐस् उन्नस है नोस् तुल्य सिमिलर् कर्ण ears subru nice bros ananam face kambu conchal sujata nicely built. Kantam, neck. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, this son of Vyasadeva was only 16 years old. His legs, hands, thighs, arms, shoulders, forehead and the other parts of his body were all delicately formed. His eyes were beautifully wide and his nose and ears were highly raised. He had a very attractive face and his neck was well formed and beautiful like a conch shell. Purport. A respectable personality is described beginning with the legs and the honored system is observed here with Shukadeva Goswami. He was only 16 years of age. A person is honored for his achievements and not for advanced age. A person can be older by experience and not by age. Sri Shukadeva Goswami, who is described herein as the son of Vyasadev, was by his knowledge more experienced than all the sages present there, although he was only 16 years old. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namavo Mishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminyatinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jayasri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaurabhaktavranda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. We are reading this wonderful chapter at the end of the first canto. The appearance of Shukadeva Goswami in the banks of the Ganges. When Parishit Maharaj has asked this question to all the sages assembled then. So Parishit Maharaj has asked a very wonderful question. We see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the questions itself are so glorious. The questions, the questions are asked concerning the highest goal of the human form of life. For example, in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the sages asked a question, please actually tell about the essence of all the scriptures. You have studied all the scriptures and please extract the essence and tell the essence of the scriptures. Whereas, for example, in other Puranas, in the Linga Purana, a question was asked to Suta Goswami, please describe about the form and the characteristics of Linga. So suppose when a teacher knows many subject matters, suppose he knows 500 subject matters, but if the question is asked about one particular subject matter, then the teacher is bound to speak only about that subject matter. But if the question is asked, so out of all the subject matters you have studied, please tell us about the essence of all the subject matters. So such kind of questions give room to the speaker to speak about the essence of all the subjects which he has studied, to speak about the highest knowledge. So therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the same sages asked questions to Suta Goswami, please tell about the essence of all the scriptures. So the questions are so glorious. And here Parishit Maharaj has asked a question. Please tell about the highest duty of everyone in all the circumstances and specifically of a person who is about to die. So we see this question is a combination of a Svahita Prashna and Parahita Prashna. Svahita Prashna is a question asked for one's own benefit. Parahita Prashna is a question asked for others' benefit. Here, Parishit Maharaj, since he is about to die, he is asking a question, please tell us about the duty of a person about to die. But at the same time, he is also, in the same question, he is combining that please tell about the duties of a person in all the circumstances. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told Srila Prabhupada, preach in the English language, it will be good for you and also for the whole world. It will be beneficial for you and also for others. So he gave an instruction benefiting the individual person in front of him, at the same time which will be beneficial for the whole world also. So here the question is asked for one's own benefit and also for the benefit of everyone. So when Parishit Maharaj asked a question, so Narada Muni, he strung a gentle melody in his veena, and then he said, my dear king, simply relish singing Krishna's holy names. So at that time, when Narada Muni gave this answer, there was another sage, Gautama. He told Narada, oh, let us be little more philosophical at this crucial moment. It behooves us to answer this important question very carefully, with reason and evidence. So Narada merely smiled at Gautama's answer. And then now Gautama turned to Parikshit and told, so only in human form of life we can solve the problem of suffering, and that is the most essential duty of a human being. So other sages presented, they all actually agreed with Gautama. Then Parikshit asked, what is the cause of suffering and how can it be negated? Then another sage, Idmavahu, he replied, so the cause of suffering is ignorance. And then everyone agreed with Idmavahu. And then Gautama replied, to dissipate ignorance, we must learn the science of logical discrimination. We must learn the Nyaya Shastra. So Bharadwaja agreed to that answer and he said, the great sage Kanada Rishi has applied the logical analysis in understanding the nature of the world and our material bodies. So this analytical approach to ending suffering is called Vaisheshika. So therefore we must take the help of Nyaya Shastra and Vaisheshika Shastra to understand the cause of suffering and to negate it. And then Idmavahu, he said, oh, these methods are good, but they are not sufficient to eradicate misery. As long as we identify with matter, we will continue to suffer. And then he said, somehow the spirit has become intermingled with the matter. So therefore, the conscious spirit soul has to undergo birth, old age, disease and death. So at that time, Idmavahu, he continued, he said, so Kapila, therefore, he has given the tools of Nyaya and Vaisheshika to analyze the different padarthas in this world. But we have to follow also the system called as Sankhya. So we have to meditate on the difference between the conscious spirit soul and the material world. And we have to follow the system of Sankhya in order to detach oneself from the matter. Then another sage, Indraprahmada, he said, but then the great sage Patanjali says that we should follow the Ashtanga Yoga Marga. So by following this system, we can directly perceive how the spirit soul is eternal and unchanging. And thus we can become free from suffering. So here he is proposing to follow another system, Ashtanga Yoga. Then another sage, Medhatiti, he countered Idmavahu, he countered Indra Pramada, he said, so according to the system, according to the thinker called as Jaimini Rishi, knowledge without proper action is useless. Therefore, the Vedas tell us to perform different duties. And this is just explained in the Mimamsa Shastra. So, but we have to follow all the duties. Mimamsa Shastra begins with Atato Dharma Jignyasa. So, we have to follow all the duties in order to overcome suffering. So, at that time, Vyasadeva, he gave his opinion. He said, the key requirement to overcome suffering is to surrender to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the followers of Kapila, they denied the existence of God. And then an argument started between the followers of Kapila and the followers of Patanjali and Vyasadeva. And Kapila's followers insisted that they are correct. And they said that, oh, Kapila is a divine incarnation. If we reject his words, then it is an offense. If we reject his words, then it is equivalent to rejecting the Vedas. But Vyasadeva, he said that the Kapila Dev which you are speaking, he is an atheistic Kapila. He lived in a previous creation. He is not the actual Kapila Dev who is an incarnation mentioned in the Shastra. So the Kapila Dev you are referring to is a different Kapila. He is an atheistic Kapila. This way Vyasadeva challenged. Furthermore, Vyasadeva said that it is irrational to state that there is no God. If there is no God, then what is the origin of the material nature? And what is the origin of the spirit souls? Then Gautama replied to Vyasadeva's challenge. Gautama said, oh, it is not logical to use the argument of causation to prove the existence of God. Then, because if you tell about the argument of causation, then naturally the question will arise that, who is the cause of God? How can you explain this? Then Vyasadeva said that is why logic alone cannot explain everything properly. To understand the unseen, we must rely on the revelations of the great seers, those who have seen the truth, and we must rely on the ancient Vedas. So, therefore, Manu and Parashara, they clearly state that the material world was manifested by Vishnu. Vishnu is both the efficient cause and the material cause of the universe. When Vyasadeva said this, Idmavahu, who is the adherent of the atheistic Sankhya school, he said, when a Vedic statement contradicts with the logic, we must reject the Vedic statement. We must accept the logic. If there were truly somebody called as a supreme, then why did he create a temporary material world filled with suffering? So at that time, Vyasadeva turned to Parikshit and said, the fact of the matter is that neither logic, nor scientific analysis, nor detachment from matter, nor the awareness of our spiritual nature, nor the Vedic rituals are sufficient to eradicate our misery. Only when we experience our eternal loving relation with Krishna, the Supreme Lord, will our suffering truly cease. So at that time, Bharadwaja, who advocated the Vaisheshika philosophy, he said, O King Parikshit, let us examine the veracity of Vyasadeva's bold statement. So according to Kannada, there are two kinds of evidence. pratyaksha pramana and anumana pramana. So immediately Gautama interrupted, but what about the shabda pramana? You have forgotten the testimony of the seers of the truth. Then Bharadwaja said that, oh, such revelation is also another type of pratyaksha only. So then, turning back to Parikshit, Gautama said, so now let us examine if there is any evidence for what Vyasadev has mentioned. Vyasadev said that loving relationship between the living entity and the Supreme Lord is the ultimate solution to eradicate all the suffering. But then the point is, in order to have a loving relationship, there has to be a personal Supreme Lord. Both have to be eternal persons. But according to Upanishads, Mundaka Upanishad states that the Supreme is invisible. He is formless. He cannot be grasped. He is without qualities. He is imperishable. Chandogya Upanishad says that Tattva Masi, that means the living entity is one with the Brahman. So that means there are now two individuals. There is only one individual. And the Supreme is formless. So how can we accept Vyasadeva's solution? Then Vyasadeva threw up his hands in exasperation and he said that, oh, this is the problem of relying too much on logic. Why do you neglect the Vedic evidence that clearly implies that everything has come from the Supreme Lord? Before the creation, there was Narayana, and Narayana only created this world. And that is clearly stated in the Upanishads. And Lord Narayana is the efficient cause of the universe. He is the ingredient cause of the universe. And he is the remote cause of the universe. And he is also the formal cause. So Parikshit immediately asked Vyasadeva, can you please explain what are these four causes? So Vyasadeva said that in philosophy there are four ways to explain the causation. For example, in the building of a house, somebody, an engineer, is building the house. He is considered to be the efficient cause. And the different ingredients which are used to build the house, they are like the ingredient cause. And the blueprint for the building, that is like the formal cause. And why we are making the building, and that is the remote cause. Somebody wants to live in that house, that is the remote cause. Then again Gautama spoke up. He said, my dear king, Vyasadeva's opinion is not only illogical, but it opposes the verdict of the eternal Vedas. Then Parikshit asked, how does it actually contradict with the statements of the Vedas? So Gautama said, if Vishnu is the material cause, and if Vishnu is the ingredient cause, then that would make the Vishnu equal to the matter and also the spirit soul. But according to the Shastras, there are three realities. The spirit soul and the matter and there is a Ishwara. But if Vishnu is the material cause, ingredient cause, remote cause and the formal cause, then that means Vishnu is equal to the matter and the spirit soul. And then at that time, Vasishta, he spoke. He said, but Vishnu is the Supreme Lord. He has got Achintya Shakti. By his Achintya Shakti, he can maintain his separate identity. He can maintain his separate identity, and the material world and the living entities are his own Shaktis. And there is no difference between Shakti and Shaktiman. At the same time, Vishnu maintains a separate identity by his inconceivable potency. So then, at that time, the followers of Vaisheshika and the followers of atheistic Kapila, they said, Vishnu is merely a temporary manifestation of Brahman. When the impersonal Brahman comes in contact with the Sattva Guna, and that impersonal Brahman manifests as the Vishnu. So Bhagavan is simply the manifestation of Brahman in Sattva Guna. So in this way, so many arguments went back and forth. So many different proposals were made. So at that time, so Indra Pramada and the followers, they argued that we have to follow the Ashtanga Yoga. Medha Titi and the followers of Mimamsa, they said that we have to follow the, we have to execute the duties mentioned in the different Vedic scriptures. And Vyasadeva and other devotees, they maintained that all these solutions are incomplete and we have to develop attachment toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in this way, there were various divisions of the opinions. Some opinions, they denied the personal form of God. There are some opinions, they accepted the personal form of God. And even among those people who accepted the personal form of God, some people said that, oh, Vishnu's role is merely to organize and sustain the cosmos. And he is simply supposed to award the living entities the good and bad results. And some others said that Vishnu was himself the fabric of the material and the spiritual reality. And some other people said that the highest result of worshipping Vishnu is simply to go to Swarga. And some other people said that the highest result of worshipping Vishnu is to achieve impersonal liberation. And some other people said that, no, the highest result of worshipping Vishnu is to attain mystic powers. And some other devotees said that the highest result of worshipping Vishnu is to go to Vaikuntha. But then other devotees said that, no, the highest result of worshipping Vishnu is to develop an intimate relationship with the Supreme Lord, and that is the far more superior. So at that time, Narada spoke. So Narada said that, so this Parikshit has only 7 days to live. And all of you sages are arguing back and forth. And in so many arguments, already so much of time has passed. And Parikshit has only a short time. And if we continue to argue, it will not help Parikshit. And then Narada said that we have to consult somebody who has seen the truth. Because now there is a, we are not able to come to a proper conclusion. We have to consult somebody who has seen the nature of spirit and matter. So to that proposal of Narada, all the sages agreed. Then Gautama said that, oh, that is a good proposal, but who amongst us has seen the truth? Then Vasishtha proposed, maybe we have to consult Narada only, because Narada is free to travel all over the universe. Definitely his testimony is trustworthy. So Gautama objected, who can believe Narada? Narada, many times, he spoke to Kamsa, oh, any of the sons of Devaki can be the 8th son. So in that way, he only instigated Kamsa to kill all the sons of Devaki. So who can trust Narada? I will not accept. I will accept only the statements of somebody who has a, whose reputation is untarnished. So at that time, Narada said that, what about accepting Vyasadeva's reputation, Vyasadeva's words? Because Vyasadeva is the compiler of the Vedas. Why can't we consult him? So to that, Gautama again raised an objection. And other sages raised an objection. Oh, this Vyasadeva, he's an attached householder. When his son was born, when his son was going to the forest, So this Vyasadeva was crying and he was going after the sun. A true knower of the truth has to be completely detached from all the relationships. So how can we accept, how can we trust Vyasadeva? So in this way, that all the sages were disagreeing to accept either Narada's words or the Vyasadeva's words. So at that time, Parishit asked, so then how can we recognize a person who is truly self-realized? How does he speak and how does he walk? How does he act? And Vasishtha said that, oh, whatever he says must be supported by the past seers of the truth. It must be supported by the Shastra. And Idmabahu agreed and added, such a person must be completely aloof from the bodily pleasures. And Bharadwaja gave his view, oh, he must be able to explain the nature of matter, time, space, mind, as well as the Atma. So at that time, Parishit Maharaj became concerned. Because Parishit Maharaj is a pure devotee of Krishna, and he's sad that these sages are not accepting the fact that because Parishit Maharaj knew that ultimately one has to surrender to Krishna. But there were so many sages who were not ready to accept that proposal. So Parishit Maharaj started praying to Krishna within his mind. When he started praying to Krishna, Krishna responded to his prayers. So at that time, suddenly there was a tumultuous sound. And the sages looked at the direction of that sound. There was a young man who was completely naked and was surrounded by a crowd of jeering women and children and who were taunting at that young man, who were spitting at that young man, and that young man was entering. And some people were throwing stones at him. And the dog started barking. But this person was completely unperturbed. He was completely equipoised. And Idvabahu, when he saw this, he saw that, this person is completely undisturbed by the abuse which is actually hurled at him. Oh, such kind of equanimity is very rare. And Idvabahu applauded. So at that time, Vyasadeva saw that person and he said, he is my son only. He is liberated from the birth. When he was born, he was actually not even ready to come out of the womb. And only when he was assured with the Supreme Lord, only at that time he came out of the womb. And as soon as he was born, he immediately went towards the forest. So Vyasadeva spoke about Shukadeva Goswami. And right from his birth, he rarely mixed with any conditioned souls. And then at that time, all the sages, they carefully started examining the physiognomy of Shukadeva Goswami. And they could understand, this person is a Mahapurusha, he's a great person. And at that time, everyone agrees to accept and inquire from Shukadeva Goswami. Idmabahu, Medatiti, Bharadwaja, Indrapramada, Vasishta, Narada, Vyasadeva, all of them, they agree to hear from Shukadeva Goswami. And Vyasadeva tells that, just one thing, please don't start another debate now, because it will waste more time of Parishit Maharaj. So, that is what we are seeing here. And Shukadeva Goswami has entered the scene. And Shukadeva Goswami, now all the sages, they have complete faith in Shukadeva Goswami. There's a beautiful shloka in Vedanta Desika's Paduka Sahasram. Vedanta Desika says that Ramatmana Pratipadam Manipada Rakshe Vishvam Barasya Vahanena Parikshitam Tvam Vishvasya Devi Vahane Vinivesha Yishyan visrabdayeva bharata bhavatim yayache. So Desika is explaining, he is imagining the reason why Bharata accepted the Paduka of Lord Ram. Ramatmana Pratipatam Manipada Rakshe. He is praying to the Paduka, a Paduka which is studded with the gems. Lord Ram Vishwambarasya Vahanena. Lord Ram is holding the entire universe. But then, O Paduke, but you are holding Lord Ram. So, Bharat actually took a Paduka and he told Lord Ram to stand on that Paduka. And by seeing that, Lord Ram is standing on that Paduka, Bharat concluded, Lord Ram is holding the whole universe and you are holding Lord Ram. Vishwasya Devi Vahane Vinivesha Yishyan. So in that way, Bharat actually got a faith. So this Paduka has the capacity to hold the entire universe. In this way, Bharat examined the capability of the Paduka. After examining the capability of Paduka, Bharat got confidence in Paduka. Visrabda Yeva. He got complete confidence in Paduka. And then, Bhavatim Yayache, the Bharat begged from Lord Ram, please give me that Paduka. Because Bharat thought that, if this Paduka comes, this Paduka has the capacity to rule the Ayodhya. By acting as a representative of Paduka, I can carry out the orders of Paduka. So therefore, after getting confidence in the capability of Paduka, he asked for the Paduka. So what does this Paduka represent? This Paduka represents the Acharya or the Guru. Before a Shishya accepts a Guru, a Shishya is supposed to examine the capabilities of the Guru. A Guru is also supposed to examine the qualities and eligibilities of the Shishya before accepting the Shishya. And similarly, Shishya is also supposed to examine the capability of the Guru. And then he should accept the Guru. And after accepting the Guru, one should have the complete faith in the Guru. And that is what signified by the word Visrabda Yeva Bharata Bhavatim Yayache. And in this way, here we see all the sages, they have the complete faith in Shukadeva Goswami and they are going to ask Shukadeva Goswami to answer the questions of Parikshit Maharaj. And in this verse, the word used is Tam Dvyashta Varsham, Dvi Ashta Varsham, that Shukadeva Goswami was 16 years old. But if we see this, 16 years old, some chapters before, in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavatam, when Bhishma Deva was giving instruction, there is a description of the sages present there. One of the sages who were present was Shukadeva Goswami. But Bhishma Deva, after Bhishma Deva's departure, Yudhishthira Maharaj became the king and he ruled for some 30-40 years. And then when he was about to retire, he appointed Parikshit as the king. And Parikshit ruled for some 60 years. So at least 40 plus 60 years before Shukadeva Goswami was present. And later in the 10th canto, when Krishna was going to Mithila to meet Shrutadeva and Bahulashva, Krishna took many sages along with him. And one of the sages were present along with Krishna. There also Shukadeva Goswami's name comes. So Shukadeva Goswami is present at that time also. Then how do we explain here that Dvi Ashta Varsham? Shukadeva Goswami was 16 years old. So some of the acharyas, they comment in the Bhagavatam commentary, they say that Dvi Ashta Varshakam Iva, he appeared like the 16-year-old person. So that is an important point to observe, because he appeared like a 16-year-old person, that although he was much senior, he appeared like a 16-year-old person. This shows that this gives a vyanjana vritti. Vyanjana vritti means implied meaning. So Bhagavatam is giving an implied meaning through this statement. What is that implied meaning? That the Sukadeva Goswami was beyond the influence of time. And what is the further implication? That means he is beyond the influence of the material gunas. That means he is a liberated person. That means he is beyond the four defects of Brahma, Pramada, Vipralipsa and Karanapata. That means whatever he speaks will be absolutely true. It will not have any mistakes. Whatever will he speak will be authoritative and it should not be doubted. And therefore we see that Shastra teaches both by the direct statement and also by implied indirect statements. Regarding Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that Veda Puranam Kavyam Cha Prabhur Mitram Priyevacha Bodhayantiti Hiprahus Trivrit Bhagavatam Punaha. The Vedas, they teach like a master teaches to the student in a direct statement. And the Puranas instruct a living entity like a friend speaks to another friend, little indirectly. And the Kavyas, they teach a living entity like a lover speaks to a beloved in a more indirect, in an implied manner. So the Bhagavatam adopts all three styles of teaching in speaking to the conditioned souls. So Bhagavatam, this Vyanjana Vritti or this implied meaning, that is the heart of a Kavya. And Kavya especially deals with the different rasas, different types of bhakti rasa. And Bhagavatam is already described as the Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam. The Bhagavatam is a reservoir of rasa. That means Bhagavatam definitely has the element, it has a style of, in the way the Kavyas are composed. And the heart of the Kavya is the implied meaning. And therefore, such instances like this, where it is mentioned that Sukadeva Goswami is mentioned as 16-year-old, although he is much senior by age. So by that, it is implied that Sukadeva Goswami is a liberated person and whatever he speaks will be completely authoritative and it cannot be doubted. So we see further on this point how Sukadeva Goswami, he is beyond the influence of the age. Kardama Muni speaks in his prayer to Lord Vishnu, Nate Jaraksha Brahmirayu Resham Trayodasharam Trishatam Shashti Parva Shannem Ananta Chadiyat Tridabi Karala Sroto Jagadachitya Davat. Kardama Muni says that Yesham Ayur, the devotee's lives are not subject to the wheel of time. Nate Ajaraksha Brahmir, which has the Brahman as the axle and the 13 months as the spokes, and Trishatam Shashti Parva, the 360 days and nights as the joints, Shan Nemi as the 6 seasons as the rim, and the unlimited seconds as the edges. The devotees' lives are not affected by the wheel of time. And this wheel of time is moving at a great velocity. Karala Sroto. Jagat Achidya Davat. It is chasing after every living entity in the whole universe and it is destroying the entire universe, but this wheel of time does not affect the devotees. So Prabhupada says in a purport, another verse in the Bhagavatam also says that Ayur Harati Vaipumsam Udyanastam Chayannasau Tasyarte Yakshano Nita Uttama Shloka Vartaya. The rising and setting of the sun, it takes away the lifespan of everyone except a person who is engaged in hearing and chanting. So Prabhupada says in a purport, if a person is Krishna conscious, he can work like a young man even if he is 75 or 80 years old. So he says, when Kala Kanya approached Narada Muni, the fourth canto in the Puranjan episode, Kala Kanya represents the old age, Jara. She approached Narada Muni, please accept me, please give me shelter. So Narada Muni rejected her proposal. So Prabhupada explains that Kala Kanya cannot overcome a Vaishnava. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami started writing Chaitanya Charitamrita when he was 90 years old. And the six Goswamis, they started their spiritual life after they were retired. So yet they presented many valuable literatures for the advancement of spiritual life. So what Prabhupada is saying is that age is not the criteria. One can practice, one can start even one spiritual life, even if a person has wasted many lives, one can still, if a person somehow develops the urgency for practicing spiritual life, even after a later age, one can attain perfection. Yeah, of course one should try to utilize right from the young age. So another point he says, but then practically we see all the devotees, we also go through old age, we also go through diseases. So what about that? So Prabhupada explains that apparently a devotee may grow old, but he is not subjected to the symptoms of defeat experienced by a common man in old age. Consequently, the old age does not make a devotee fearful of death, as a common man is fearful of death. Definitely, old age affects a devotee, but instead of depressing a devotee, the old age helps the devotee become fearless and thus happy. So, by the word devotee, the devotee means here one who follows the instructions of Narada Muni, the path of Pancharatrika Vidhi and the Bhagavata Vidhi. One who follows both these paths strictly. So, just like Narada Muni was not affected by the Kala Kanya, the old age, so similarly, anybody who follows the instructions of Narada Muni, the Pancharatrika Vidhi and Bhagavata Vidhi properly, he may not be affected by the symptoms of old age, especially the depression or mostly the symptom of becoming fearful in old age. And another point, Prabhupada explained in one purport in the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that when the devotees go through old age disease, the devotee who is practicing the path of Uttama Bhakti, pure devotional service, they also go through old age disease, but it appears by the will of the Lord for three purposes: for increasing the longing of the devotee towards the Lord, because old age causes different difficulties and that increases the longing of the devotee towards the Lord. And secondly, to not let the opinion of others to be destroyed. To not destroy the opinion of others. So devotees also go through old age and disease. And thirdly, to protect the confidential nature of the devotees. So therefore, we see in the Shastras, the description in the lives of the devotees, they also go through old age, disease, because Krishna does not unnecessarily disturb the system of the material world. He maintains the confidentiality of the path of bhakti. And he makes it appear that even the pure devotees, the eternal associates, they also go through the old age, disease and death. But when a person is following the Pancharatrika Vidhi and Bhagavata Vidhi, the instructions of Narada Muni properly, one will not be affected with the symptoms of old age, that is, fearfulness and depression. And here we see Shukadeva Goswami, he was 16 years old, although that shows that he was not affected by the, he is affected by the old age. And all of them, they chose Shukadeva Goswami to hear from him. So, the Manu Samhita, Manu says that, Agnyebhyo Granthina Sreshta. Somebody who has studied the Shastra is superior to a person who is in ignorance. Granthibhyo Dharino Varaha. Somebody may have studied the Shastra, but Granthibhyo Dharino Vara. Somebody who has memorize the Shastras. Somebody who has the words of the Shastras in the tip of his tongue. Who is holding the knowledge of the Shastra in his mind. Such a person is even superior to a person who has studied the Shastra. And Dharibhyo Jnanina Sreshta. And superior to a person who is holding the words of the Shastra in his mind is a person who has understood the meanings of the Shastra, who has understood the essence of the Shastra. And Jnanibhyo Vyavasayinaha, and superior to a person who has understood the Shastra is a person who has put forward the teachings of the Shastra in his life, or who is practicing the Shastra. So, Shukadeva Goswami is chosen by all the people because in one class, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj mentioned, he was chosen by all the people unanimously because Shukadeva Goswami was madly in love for Krishna and he had realization of the Shastra. So, therefore, all of them agreed to hear from Shukadeva Goswami. And we will see in the further verses how Shukadeva Goswami is going to prepare to answer Parikshit Maharaj. So, I would like to end here. Today we discussed about how there were all the different sages were giving different opinions. And at that time, Shukadeva Goswami enters and all the sages unanimously agree to hear from Shukadeva Goswami. Then we also discussed about how Shukadeva Goswami, although he was much older, but he appeared like a 16-year-old person. That means he was a liberated soul. Therefore, whatever he says will be authoritative. And then we discussed something about how the old age affects a devotee. Hare Krishna. If anybody has any one question, we'll take.
Hare Krishna. So, Prabhuji, as you explained, the debates, arguments between the different sages. So, hearing that argument, this thought came in my mind that these are the sages who have renounced everything, detached from all material things, and they have practiced celibacy and studied all the scriptures. In spite of all this, they couldn't come to the ultimate conclusion. And when I see myself struggling so much with the anarthas and so many material attachments, So what is the hope? It looks like it's very difficult path moving ahead.
No, the conviction for Krishna Bhakti comes when a person meets a devotee of Krishna. So the Bhakti Lata Bija, the faith in Krishna Bhakti, that comes when a person gets an association of a devotee of Krishna. So these sages, although they are greatly learned, but they didn't get the Bhakti Lata Bija, because probably they didn't get the association of a great devotee. Or even if they got the association of a great devotee, they didn't have the mood of reception towards that particular devotee. So therefore, they didn't have that conviction. Sometimes one may, a seed may be sown, but if the land is barren, nothing will grow. So one may get the Bhakti Lata Bija, but if a person did not have the right receptive attitude towards a devotee, then the Bhakti Lata Bija does not grow in that heart. Or sometimes these sages may not have got that Bhakti Lata Bija, so therefore they proposed different solutions. On the other hand, somebody gets the Bhakti Lata Bija, yeah, we have different anarthas, we have different struggles. But at least getting that Bhakti Lata Bija, we can actually, if we try to water that Bhakti Lata Bija with faith by the watering process of Shravanam and Kirtanam, and also we have to cultivate the land properly, that means the mood of reception, humility, to receive that seed properly, we have to make our heart receptive, and then water that seed of Bhakti Lata Bija, and also protect that growth of the Bhakti Lata Bija by creating the proper fence around it. That means a proper lifestyle based on dharma, and protect the growth of the Bhakti Lata Bija from the different nama aparadhas, Vaishnava aparadhas. So in that way we can, and also identify the weeds which may grow along with the Bhakti Lata Bija, and identify the weeds and pluck out the weeds. If you follow this process, then we can actually definitely advance. Hare Krishna. So I'll stop here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.